Amen. I like that song. You guys like that one? Amen. I'm thankful that our Redeemer does live. And we're doing a sermon series right now. We're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles with you, you'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And our sermon series kind of goes along with that. We are talking about being unnoticed and becoming aware of God's work around us. And boy, that song right there makes you aware of one of the works that God has done for us, that He has redeemed us. And thankful for those songs about the redemption that we can have through our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're going to look here in just a moment. We started out last week with this series entitled Unnoticed. We were talking about how moms, a lot of the things that they do go unnoticed. And if you weren't able to be here last week, and just in case you weren't aware, Daniel is playing the bass over here. He's done a wonderful job on our website and media and things like that. And if you're not able to be at a service, or if you'd like to hear it again just to see if, did he really say what I think he said? You can check that out on our website, gracebaptisttremont.com, and just click on media, and all the sermons are on there. And then also you can listen to that through various podcast apps and those kinds of things on Apple and Android devices. So anyway, we started last week on this series entitled Unnoticed, and we talked about all the different things that moms do that go unnoticed, and we won't rehash all of that, but we did draw the correlation about how that a lot of the ways that God works is very similar to how it is with moms, because God is always at work, but a lot of times the work that He does goes unnoticed. And the purpose of this series is for us to become aware of God's work around us. You see, because when we become aware of God's work around us, then we become appreciative for the way that He works and the things that He does in our lives. And so last week we looked at the first way that God works around us in an unnoticed way, and that is through the lives of others that are around us, through the lives of others specifically that go unnoticed. And we talked about one specific character last week. Let's just see. Does anybody remember what character it was? Wow, okay, I was going to see if he really went unnoticed. Apparently, we got him some notoriety now, and we talked about Hur, from Aaron and Hur, and how he held up the hands of Moses whenever they were fighting the battle against the Amalekites. And the challenge last week was to begin to see how God works through people around us that are behind the scenes. And for some of us, it was a challenge to notice those people and to be thankful for them. But for others, it was a message of encouragement, because your unseen labor is valuable and you are making a difference. So today we're going to look at another way that God is at work around us. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray and we'll jump right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so very grateful for the fact that You are always at work. You've given us that promise that You'll never leave us, You'll never forsake us. And Lord, so much of what You do, we do notice and we do see. Far too often we take it for granted. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive us for that and help us to walk our daily lives being aware of the things that You're doing around us. And Lord, I pray specifically today for the message that You would anoint Your word, and I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts as You see fit. And I pray that You would work in our midst now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I need some crowd participation today, so I'm going to get, Steve, you were late to church, so we're going to have you get up here first, all right? So come on up here. I'm going to give Steve. Did anybody else notice what Steve was late to church? If you did, say amen. There you go. All right, brother. That's what you get for being late. I'm going to give you a trowel. You know what to do with that? All right, good. I figured you did. Let's see. I need someone else. Anybody else late for church today? All right. Dave, I heard you laugh first. Come on up here. All right. I'm going to give Dave a, do you know what that is? That's a metric crescent wrench right there, all right? And some of the men picked up on that one, all right? And then I need one more volunteer. Let's see here. Keith. Man, he made eye contact. Keith, the key rule is if you don't want to volunteer, you don't make eye contact, all right? You don't make eye contact. And you did, so that was telling me I want to volunteer, all right? So there you go. You know what to do. You know what to do with the hammer there, all right? So I've got these guys here, and we've given each of them a tool, and whether or not they know how to use it, I'm not sure. But let's just say that your car broke down, all right? And so let's say your car broke down. How many of you guys are going to dial up Steve? Show him your tool there, Steve, and have Steve come help fix your car, all right? Something's wrong with you. Let's see. How about Keith? Who's going to call up Keith? He's got the hammer there. Here you go. All right. How many be honest and say, if I was going to call one of these guys to come work on my car, I'd probably pick the guy with the... Well, I didn't tell you. How many of you guys, if there was something wrong with your car, you'd call me? All right? Yeah, there you go. I'm the one that's really got. Okay. No, but really, each of these guys have a tool. Let's say that you had one of your kids were playing and it got out of hand. Imagine that. And somebody put a hole in the wall, in the drywall. Which one of these guys are you going to call? Probably this guy right here. Let's say you got a picture that needs hung up. Which guy are you going to call? Now, could this guy hang up a picture frame with his trowel that he has there? Probably. How many of you guys have ever done that before? All right. Yeah, I figured. Okay. Mom used to do it with coffee cups. And so now he could probably do the same thing. But the way that's going to get done the easiest and the best is with this guy right here with the hammer. And each of them have a tool, and each of their tools have a purpose, but it is important for us to understand that while others can get the job done, there's going to be a little bit of frustration in trying to accomplish it when you don't use the right tools. You guys can just set those tools right here on the ledge if you would. Let's give them a hand for helping. All right. Sorry to pick on you, Steve. They put you all the way in the front row. I mean, that's hard to believe. Anyway, each of these men were equipped, and each of them had an area of expertise. But what I want us to see is that in our day-to-day lives, God is doing a work around us that oftentimes goes unnoticed. And the work that he does around us is through some tools. And I'm not talking about a hammer or a crescent wrench or a trowel, but specifically about what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. And so what I'm talking about today, we have people around us that are equipped to help us. You know what I'm talking about? You have people around you that I'm not talking about trying to fix a car. Like if I have a car problem, there's a list of guys that I go through, and it starts with my stepdad, Jeff, because he's a mechanic, all right? If I have a problem with some trim here at the church, there's a handful of guys I'll start with to call. I'm going to call Keith Wilson because he knows how to do that real well. And there's just different abilities that they have. But I'm not talking about physical labor here. I'm talking more of the spiritual labor. Maybe, how many of you guys, whenever you get down and you're a little bit discouraged, there's someone you know that has a tool in their bag that they're really good at using it to encourage you. And you know what phone number you're going to call when you get discouraged. Does anybody have somebody like that on their phone? How about maybe you have somebody that when you're just straight up ticked off about something and you need a sounding board, you've got somebody that always takes your side and you know exactly who you're going to call and message, right? Yeah. Maybe it's not when you're discouraged or whenever you're mad. Maybe it's when you need counsel. You need someone to give you some advice. How many of you guys know someone that's got a tool that they're really good at counseling and giving you wisdom and speaking truth into your life? These people are gifted to help in specific areas, and they're very effective in those areas. And truthfully, they're usually not very effective in the other areas. You know what I mean? Like with Jeff, my stepdad, I could ask him to come help me fix my vehicle, but if I asked him to help hang some trim, you might as well forget it. I don't know if Jeff knows how to do that or not. His wife is saying no. So, and that's usually how it is. The guy that you'll call up for some counsel about parenting advice is oftentimes not the same guy that you would call up whenever you just want to sound off and get something off your chest, you know? Because they are equipped to do very specific things to be a blessing in your life. And I want to tell us this morning that one way that God is working around us that oftentimes goes unnoticed is through these spiritual gifts. Not just in the gifts that others possess, but also in the gifts that you possess. Life and ministry will never reach their full potential without an understanding of how God works through spiritual gifts. If we do not notice spiritual gifts in our lives, then we will not be able to reach the full potential that God has planned for us. I want you to see that for yourself there. If you have your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 1, if you don't, we'll have it on the screen here. But look at this first verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 1 says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, I'm from Tennessee, and we used that word a lot when I was down there, right? That guy, he's ignorant. And what we meant when we said that is that meant they were stupid. How many know somebody that's stupid? Point at them right now. Ready? Go. All right, good. And that word there does not mean stupid. It means I don't want you to be unlearned. I don't want you to be unaware of. I don't want this to be something that is unnoticed in your life. And so what he tells us in this first verse when he's writing this letter to this church at Corinth, he says, listen, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I want you guys to know what they are. I want you to be aware of how I am using, how God is using them in your life and how God is using them in the lives of others. So, what does it mean to be gifted? All right, what does it mean to be gifted? When we talk about being gifted, it doesn't mean to be skilled, because skills are something that can be acquired or something that's learned. I mean, you look at all these people up here playing these instruments. How many of you guys always thought, man, I wish I could play the guitar? Anybody ever like that, you know? Man, I wish I could play the piano, or I wish I could do that. And we look at somebody like Ben that can play the piano and the guitar and the harmonica and the mandolin and the bass and the drums and the you name it, and he can do it. How many of you guys look at a guy like that and say, it ain't fair? You know, a lot of us would go, well, he's just gifted. Well, he is gifted, but I want to tell you, we don't know the amount of time that he has put into learning those instruments. Hundreds, probably thousands of hours have been put into practice. And anybody that has played an instrument knows that, yes, there is a certain level of giftedness, but there's a skill that has been developed throughout the time and practice that has been put into it. You see, there's a difference between skill and giftedness. It's kind of like Michael Phelps. You guys remember Michael Phelps back before he started getting DUIs and he was real popular? And, Michael Phelps was a swimmer, right? And he was really good. He's the most decorated Olympian that I believe in the Olympics. And he is a gifted swimmer. Now, he does a lot of training as well, but God's gifted him. They talked about his body and how I think he's 6'3" and he has a very large torso and small, long, skinny legs with big old feet and big old hands so that he can paddle. It's like God made him to swim, right? It was something that he was gifted with. The same thing is true in our life. God has gifted us with certain things. I propose to you this morning that whether you realize it or not, you are gifted. The greatest gift that we've ever been given, of course, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we're this morning, you notice in this first verse, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he's talking to believers. And so the majority of the message that I'm going to share with you this morning is directed towards those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so I want to start real quick before we delve into this that is directed towards believers. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can just forget the rest of this message, okay? Because your ultimate need is not to know what your spiritual gift is. Your ultimate need is to know that the Savior's gift was when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, all right? We are sinners. You know, the best of men are men at best, and you find the best person in this room, and they're still a sinner. I don't have to try to convince you of that. I hope that we understand we're sinners by birth and we're sinners by choice, you know? I tell people all the time, I didn't have to train my kids to be jerks. They were born like that, right? They knew how to steal. They knew how to lie. They knew how to sneak around. Everybody else's kids like that, right? All of us were. And we knew that naturally, but as we grew older, we began to be very selfish with our choices. We're sinners. We've sinned against a holy God. The Bible says there's a punishment for sin, and as much as I hate it, Jesus talked more about it than he did heaven. It's hell. And according to the word of God, there is a literal lake of fire where sinners who die without a Savior will spend eternity separated from God. And it's important that I be very clear from the very beginning. I hope that no one ever attends Grace Baptist Church and does not walk away with a full understanding that this church will not save you. You know, we believe in church membership, and we hope people will worship and connect and serve with us here, but there is nothing that you can do in this church that will forgive you of your sins. There's nothing you can do once you walk out the doors. You know, we're going to have someone baptized this morning, and when Josh gets baptized, that water's not going to wash away his sin. The Bible says that faith in the blood of Jesus is what washes away sin. I have to understand that I'm a sinner, and I can't do anything to save myself, and I have to believe that Jesus Christ loved me so much that he died for me. He was buried, and he rose again. He's alive today. And if I'll call upon his name in faith and repentance, Jesus Christ will save my soul. And I hope that that's clear this morning. Don't walk away saying, well, that preacher said I need to know about spiritual gifts so I could be saved, so I could go to heaven. No, no, no. That's for believers. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the ultimate gift that was given to us. All right, so let's get that going right there from the very beginning. But what I want us to see this morning is that he didn't just give us a gift that is only good after we die. You know, when Jesus Christ died, he did give us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has also, though, given us a gift that is to be used here in this life. For some of you, it's very obvious what your spiritual gift is. You know what you are naturally good at, the things that you are motivated by, the things that you enjoy doing. It's very clear. For others, it's hidden. And so God has given us a list of some of these here in 1 Corinthians 12. There's other lists throughout the New Testament. We're going to stick to this passage here this morning. But look what it says in verse number 4. He says that there are diversities of gifts. That means they're diversified. There's all kinds of different ones here. He says, but they have the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame thing, Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Our purpose as a church is threefold. We have simplified. That's our theme for the year, is we're simplifying. And we want it to be very clear when someone walks to the door, what do I need to do? I'm walking into Grace Baptist. What's the first thing I need to do? There it is right there, worship. That's what we want you to do this morning. We want you to worship God. And worshiping God is not limited to a few songs that we sing in a morning service. You can worship God as you're listening to preaching. You can worship God as you're giving. You can worship God as you're being a blessing to someone else. You can worship God in your car. You can worship God at a tree stand. And all the men said, amen, you can worship God all over, but when you come here, we hope that this is a place where you can connect to God through worship. But we also want you to take the next step. After you get used to being here and worshiping God, we hope that you'll connect to others. And we do that through life groups and those kinds of things. And ultimately, we want people to get to the place where they serve. But what we want people to know is we don't want you just to jump in and serve in an area that you're not gifted in. One way that will help us to serve in an effective way is to understand how God made us. Notice what it says in verse number 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. You see it again in verse number 11. He says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame thing, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Bible tells us very clearly that every single one of us have been given a special gift that is unique to us. And it's important that we know what it is. He told us at the very beginning of it, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren. So let's just be honest this morning. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us know what the spiritual gifts are? Let's get a little bit more specific. How many of us know what our, don't raise your hand, but how many of us know what our spiritual gift is? Let's get a little bit more specific. How many of us know what our spiritual gift is and we're using it to serve the Lord? That's what this passage is all about. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be aware of these things and begin to plug them in into your life and use them. You see, the majority of believers are ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, and this is dangerous because the work of God is accomplished through these gifts. Let's say that I've never been around any kind of construction before, and I get hired to hang some drywall, all right? How many guys enjoy hanging drywall? Is there anybody that's weird out there that enjoys hanging drywall? All right. I was going to say, if you raised your hand, I was going to volunteer you for the next phase of our project over here, but you don't enjoy doing that, but let's say we get hired to hang some drywall, and I've never been around construction, and so he gives me these three tools, and he says, all right, I want you to go hang that drywall. And I try to act all big and macho, and I say, all right, I got this. And I grab the drywall, and I pull this thing out. Now, let's get real technical here. Is it possible for me to hang a sheet of drywall with a crescent wrench? Maybe not a metric crescent wrench, but a regular one, yeah, all right? You can hang drywall with a crescent wrench. Now, what's the problem there? It's going to take a long time. You know, you're going to have to find the drywall nails, and you're going to have to try to hold that thing up there, and you know, you can get it done. I mean, even if I had this, is this made for drywall? Yeah, but it's made for drywall mud, not hanging it. Now, could I hang a sheet of drywall with a drywall trowel? I could. It's going to be really frustrating, though, isn't it? It's going to be really hard getting that thing done. You see, I can attempt to do the work using the tools incorrectly, and it's going to leave me confused, tired, and frustrated, and there's one cause for it. If I were to spend the whole day trying to hang drywall with these tools, how do you think I'm going to go home that night? You think I'm going to go home, honey, I just loved work today. Let me tell you all about it, you know. And you know, let's take the kids out and go do something special. No, I want to go sit in the corner and cry. It's been a long day, all right? And it's all a result of one thing, ignorance. It's not that I'm stupid. It's that I haven't been taught. It's that I didn't have the right tools. I didn't know how to use them. And the truth of the matter is this, is what has happened in the average church is a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have a desire to connect and serve. And so what they do is they have two options. They want to do something to serve the Lord, and so they can either do something, they either not do anything because they're afraid of failure and they're not sure what to do, or they can try something and hope that they figure it out somewhere along the way. And so what happens is many people say, you know what, I do want to serve the Lord, and so I'm just going to jump in. Here's an opportunity. I'm going to serve the Lord in that area. And they try it, and they're ignorant of the tools that God has given them, and so they end up confused, tired, and frustrated. And that's where you get a lot of Christians that get burnout. You guys ever heard that phrase before, burnout? You ever seen anybody get, maybe you've been burnt out for a certain period of time in your life. Oftentimes the reason we get burnt out spiritually is because we have misunderstood spiritual gifts. And so what happens is when they get burnt out, they quit. And the average pastor doesn't want to eliminate ministries. And so someone else that is already serving in another area attempts to take more upon themselves. And that's where you end up getting 90% of the people doing 10% of the work. You've heard that phrase before, right? It's important that we understand spiritual gifts. You see, so what ends up happening is there is only a handful of people that are ministering, and the result is that today the average church is between 75 and 80 people, and as many as 90% of churches run less than 150. The reason churches are not growing is because churches are not ministering. And the reason churches are not ministering is because people within those churches do not understand their spiritual gift. They're not growing because people aren't being reached, and those that are being reached are not having their needs met, and a spirit of complacency dominates. All of this can be traced back to one thing, ignorance concerning spiritual gifts. We have the spiritual gifts that God has given. They have gone unnoticed in our lives. So my desire is that the people that attend Grace Baptist Church will worship, connect, and serve. And one of the keys to seeing this accomplished is by understanding those gifts, discovering the gifts that God has given us, and developing and using those gifts within the ministries of the local church. And so, how many of us want to hang drywall with the wrong tools? You know, how many of us want to try to accomplish something and not really know how to do it? We're usually not content sitting on the sidelines. The important thing for us to remember, though, is that we need to understand that God has given us something we are good at. And what happens a lot of times is that thing that God has blessed us with, we've used it in other areas. You know, some of us are very successful at our place of employment. And the reason we're successful at it is because God gave us a gift. And we can, you know, sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. You know what I mean? We can just sell ice to an Eskimo, you know, or something like that. We've been given that gift of gab or whatever it is, and we use it for our own pleasure and our own profit. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. Thank God that God's given that to us. But the reason God gave us that is not so that we can earn money, but he has given us that so that we can further his gospel and bring him more glory here on this earth. That's why God has gifted us. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, why did God give us all them? Verse number 12 tells us, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know the reason that God has given pastors and teachers and things like that is so that we can train people to identify how God made them so that they can be ministering to others. I want us to think about this. I was going through and looking at our records over the last couple of months, and On March 15th, we started this new thing that some of you kind of dread. At the end of every service, we ask everybody to fill out a connection card. And I want to, first of all, thank everybody for being patient and doing that. And just as a reminder, if you're a regular here, you don't have to fill the whole thing out. Not everybody in your family has to fill one out, just one per family and things like that. But the reason we're doing that is because we want to be able to keep track of who's here, and we want to meet needs. There's place for prayer requests and things like that on the back. But we started doing that on March 15th. So you got April 15th. That was a great day, right? That was a tax day, for those of you that don't know. April 15th, May 15th, and now, today's the 16th, right? So it's been 2 months since we started doing that. Look right here. 2 months since we started keeping track. In the last 2 months, we had 44 families, not 44 people, 44 families visit for the first time in 2 months. Praise the Lord, sure. And I mentioned this last week. The reason they came is not because I invited them. The reason they came is because you guys invited them. The most effective form of ministry is one-on-one inviting friends and family. You guys have done awesome at it. And I'm so thankful that you guys feel that you can invite people to your church. And I'm glad that you call this your church home. But listen, 44 families in 2 months. From January, our average attendance in January was 143. Our average attendance last month was 243. Now, that includes Easter, so throw Easter out. And the average, not including Easter, is 201. So in 4 months, our attendance grew almost 60 people, which is about 40%, if I'm figuring that right. Anybody want to take a guess on how many families regularly attend our church, at least once a month? 105. Only 105 families visit or attend our church on a regular basis. 44 came new in the last 2 months. That's not including people that visited before March 15th and came back. There were 17 other families that visited before March 15th and came back either a second or a third time. All right? That's a lot of families. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because we're not going to be able to keep up with the growth unless we begin to understand spiritual gifts. Because here's the thing. All of us have been given a gift. You know why God gave you a gift? It's so that you can minister to the person sitting next to you, or the person in front of you, or the person that's not here today that would have been here today if someone would have just been a blessing to them or an encouragement to them or reached out to them, you know? The reason that God has given you that gift is so that you can minister to someone else so that you can bring God glory in your life and in their life. There are a lot of people that call me their pastor. You know, I could go into the nursery. It was so neat. Max Snavely. I mean, just a little. How old is Max? Where's Jennifer and Jason at? How old is Max? 2.5? Max came up on Wednesday, I think it was. And I mean, little bitty guy, and I'm kind of tall. And he pointed up, and he's a pastor. You like doing that, you know? And we can go into the nursery, and those guys call me pastor. And we can go into the bitty church right now where the four-year-olds through first grade are in there, and they call me pastor. And then I can go into the junior church where it's going on right now. The second through fifth grade are in there, and they call me pastor. And the teenagers, and then you can go up to the couples, and then the seniors, and people that are in RU, and people that, I mean, a lot of people call me pastor. But here's the thing. I cannot possibly meet all of the needs of the people that are represented in our church. I can't do it. And I'll be real straight with you. God didn't call me to do it. If I felt the responsibility to meet the needs of the 105 families that attend our church, if Josh Buto was the only person that had to meet your needs, I'd lose my family. And I'm not losing my family for any of you. I love you, and I'm thankful for you, and I hope that you'll keep calling us our church home. But my family's number one. And this church will never come before my family. And I hope that you can respect that. And I would tell you the same thing. I tell some of these folks in our church that do a lot in our church, I told somebody just on Friday, I said, you need to be careful. I don't want you spending more time here than you do at home. All right? That's a priority. God, family, church. Let's keep it that way. All right? It's important. But I can't do it. Miss Bonnie's mom is in the hospital. Well, she was in the hospital. Now she's down at the Hallmark House over here in Pekin. And Miss Bonnie asked me if I'd go visit her. And I said, I'll do my best to get over there and visit her. I didn't get time to visit her this week. Had a lot of stuff going on. I called her, talked to her on the phone. And you know what? She was just thrilled to talk to me on the phone. But I felt bad. I wanted to be there. There's other people that have been in the hospital, haven't been able to get there, relatives, different things going on. Listen, I just can't do it. Our church has had a tremendous growth over the last several months. And I want us to be able to keep up, but we will not be able to keep up if I am responsible for it. That verse that we showed here in Ephesians 4, go back to verse 11 if you would. It says that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You know why God gave me to be your pastor? For that next verse, verse number 12. So that I can perfect you, so that you can do the work of the ministry, and so that you can edify the body of Christ. One of the things we teach in our connection class is that every member is a minister. One of the things that kind of shook me the first time I heard it, I heard a pastor say it and I thought, that doesn't sound right at all, because I come from a background where the pastor is supposed to do everything. He said this, he said, my job is not to pastor the people of my church. He said, my job is to make sure that the people of my church get pastored. Can I tell you one of the things I'm thankful for? This RU ministry that has started on Friday nights has been an opportunity to see people that know what their gift is. And they've been able to plug it in and use that gift to minister to or to pastor other people. How many of you guys lead one of the small groups in RU on Friday nights? Just raise your hand. See these guys with their hands raised? Go ahead and raise your hand there. All right? There's a few folks in here. Others are ministering somewhere else. But you know what? You know what they're doing? They're pastoring the people that are in their small group. Or life group leaders. Raise your hand if you're a life group leader. Several life group leaders in here. You know what they're doing? They're pastoring their people. Now listen, I'm not saying that everybody in here needs to have a group of people that you're pastoring. But I want to tell you, maybe there's at least one. You know, we come to church a lot of times and it's, man, what's that church got to offer me? What can I get? You know, and what do I need? I want to tell you, we're going to try to meet your needs and we're going to do everything we can to help you. But can I tell you, the church is not, you're not supposed to come to church with a grocery cart. You know, what can I get? Bring a shovel. Bring a hammer. You know, God forbid we walk in. Well, I'll tell you, something needs to be done at that church over there. Well, need seen, assignment given. It's kind of the way I look at it. I want to encourage you. And we're doing our best on this to try to do what God called us to do, to equip you, to perfect you. And I hope that you'll allow us to do that, to learn what your spiritual gift is so that you can do what God's called you. For example, let me get a few more guys. I picked on you earlier, Steve. So would you say that you have the gift of strength?
Yeah, I got that. All right.
All right, go ahead and come on up here. I'll have you help me real quick. He's got the gift of strength. I need someone that has the gift of interior design. Anybody have the gift of interior design? Anybody? Elisa, come on up here. You got the gift of interior design. Let's see here. How about the gift of safety? You're that guy at work that's like, oh, be careful, you know, and everything. Who's got the gift of safety? You're a worrywart. All right. Jennifer? Oh, my mom. Yeah, come on up here. Yeah. Anytime we went anywhere, my mom would always say, don't go to the bathroom alone. And so, yeah, she's got the gift of safety, all right? Who has the gift of encouragement? You're just that guy that's cheering on from the sidelines. Anybody got the gift of encouragement? Brother Harry, how about you come on up here? Harry, you be the gift of encouragement, all right? And so I've got the gift of strength, the gift of safety, the gift of interior design, and the gift of encouragement, all right? Now, not all these are spiritual gifts, but just follow me along here. Let's say we're going to redo this platform, all right? And we're going to move some things around. So I need someone with the gift of strength to do it. I need someone with the gift of safety to make sure nobody gets hurt. Someone with the gift of interior design to tell us where to put it. And someone with the gift of encouragement to encourage us along. So I've got all these people to help do it. All right, let's get this platform moved. What's the first thing we need to do? Well, we need to move the pulpit. So I'm working on, well, and then we need to move the speaker. So I run over here and I'm moving the speaker, and then we need to move this, and we got to move that around, and I'm not sure if we should slide this over there. And so here's what I want us to see. You know why God gifted these guys with those goofy gifts we talked about just a minute ago? He didn't gift them so they could come and watch me do all of it. You see what I'm saying? If God gave him the gift of strength, what do you think he needs to be doing? Moving that pulpit. I ain't moving it. Look at this guy. He can move it. If God's given her the gift of interior design, does he need to be saying, well, I think the pulpit needs to go over there? Oh, it's none of your business. You're just here to move stuff, all right? Be quiet. We're going to put it where she tells us to, all right? The encourager over here, the encourager doesn't necessarily need to be lifting stuff and telling us where to put it. He just needs to cheer us on, you know? And God did not tell the person with the gift of safety to be the interior designer. She's supposed to be the one that's watching over everybody else, all right? But God did not give these people those gifts so they could watch someone else do what God made them to do. And what has happened in many churches, and I think that we all are guilty of this in some way, even in our own church, is we realize God has gifted us to do something, and we're perfectly content watching someone else do it. And the whole while, the gift God has given us has gone unnoticed. And the purpose for which he gave it to us has been unfulfilled. Thank you guys for your help on that. When you look at the book of Acts, the church was growing exponentially. It started in Acts chapter 2, where there was 120 people in the upper room that were a part of the church at Jerusalem. They had 3,000 people that got saved on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and then it just grew from there. And the Bible says that in Acts chapter 6 that the widows were being neglected. It says that there were some widows that they had some physical needs that needed to be met, and they were being neglected. Their needs were not being fulfilled. And so the apostle said, it is not need for us to leave the study of the Word of God and the prayer for the people of God to go serve bread, because the widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. And so does anybody remember what they did in Acts chapter 6? They brought on some faithful, godly men. They called them deacons. And these guys fulfilled the needs of the widows and also for the daily ministration. I mentioned this on Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to say it again. With the growth of our church, I am spending increasingly less and less time in sermon preparation. And I say that ashamedly, while at the same time thankful for what God's doing. Man, I look around here and I'm so thankful for the way that God is working in people's lives and the way he's providing for us and everything else. But we can't run at this pace. It's not sustainable. I believe that God has greater works than what we've seen. I believe the best days of Grace Baptist Church are ahead. And the way for us to see God's continued growth is for us to not allow his gifts that he has given us to continue to go unnoticed. May God help us to not just recognize them, but to put them into practice. I embarrassed Jen a little bit this morning, if she doesn't mind. I don't care if you mind or not. Matt's not able to be here this morning, but Matt and Jen have been serving faithfully in our junior church for a number of years now. And I'll just be honest with you. I've served at junior church for a lot of years, too. I didn't like it. I don't have the patience for it. You know, when a kid acts up, yeah, I want to treat them like I'd treat my kid. And you can't do that and not stay out of jail, all right? And so so I'm not gifted in that area. Matt and Jen love it. And a couple weeks ago, we mentioned that there's a family that's going to be moving here, and they're going to be helping us with our children's ministries and things like that. And I talked to Matt about it, and I said, hey, man, I want to see if you have any questions. And he said, man, when I heard that guy was coming, he said, my heart sunk. Jen said the same thing. My heart sunk, because I thought that if that guy comes, that means I don't get to teach in junior church anymore. They said, we love helping in junior church. And I thought, you are weird, all right? Nobody really likes it. But you know what they found? What did they find? Their gift. How many people do you know that when it's their turn to help in junior church, or their turn to help in the nursery, or their turn to help clean, or their turn to help whatever, they're going, oh, here we go again. I dread this week. Man, what would it be like if every single person found out the way that God made them, found a way to use it, so then they had the same attitude as Azarian, says, I can't wait for my turn to get there. I can't wait to get to church to be able to do what God's called me to do and meet the needs of these people that only I can fulfill, because God has uniquely gifted me to do it. Before you can discover your spiritual gift, you have to be in the body. As I mentioned earlier in this passage, it says concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. You got to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior to have that gift. So I just want to ask you this morning. Are you aware of God's work around you, specifically with these spiritual gifts? You look at these men at the beginning with their tools. And we were to go around and look at these tools that we're carrying. Do we know what these things are in our lives, spiritual ones? And are we using them? Or are we using this to hang up a picture? Or are we using this to fix a car? You know, at the end of the sermon, at the end of the service today, I've got some spiritual gifts tests, and I'm going to leave them down here. If anybody wants a copy of that, if you're wondering what the spiritual gifts are that are out there, you can take a test, and it'll help you on that. It's not definitive and not a final authority, but it kind of gives you some direction. And I've got several of those printed out. If you'd like a copy of that, I'll leave it here. But I just want to challenge us as a church to really, really think about this. We're all here to worship. Many of you have gone the next step and you've connected. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of you serve. We are a blessed church because a very high percentage of people are involved in at least some ministry. But I hope that we won't be involved in just some ministry. Let's find the one we were made to do. And let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so very thankful to be able to be a part of a church where people are excited about serving you and about serving others. And Lord, I'm so thankful to see the growth that you have brought our way through the faithful service of the people that call this their church home. And Lord, it's a privilege. It's also a great responsibility to try to make sure that people are finding their gifts and we're implementing them. Help us not to just find people that are willing, but Lord, help people to find their own gift and then to plug in where you want them. Lord, my ultimate prayer, though, is if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would trust you before they leave this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed,